That's kind of a strange ending to that gospel, isn't it? After Jesus exhorts us to be persistent in our prayer and to pray always, he ends up by saying, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? I think the reason why Jesus ends that way is to emphasize the fact that our faith demands an action, and that action is a constant relationship and connection to God. And when we take a look at prayer and step back, we realize that's what prayer gives us. It gives us that constant connection to God, to the divine. The trust that says it's not in our hands, it's not in our power, but in God's power. So therefore, you don't have to be a great scripture scholar to take a look at the readings today and come up with the aspect that there are two kind of themes. The theme of prayer and the power of prayer, and the aspect of perseverance and persistence in that prayer. I think right after the words that are spoken to us, I love you, you know, which certainly kind of strikes at the very heart of recognizing our relationship to someone, the words, I pray for you, for me, follows right on those, on that heels of I love you, in terms of its importance. When a person says, I pray for you, think about what is being done. That person is taking literally your cause, your person, before God on your behalf. What more profound way can someone exhibit a tremendous relationship and trust in God and a respect for you in terms of your dignity and who you are than to literally say, I pray for you. Now, I love you and I pray for you can be diminished in many ways, obviously. We know that. We can use I love you for a series of things. You know, we can say it haphazardly as basically a salutation or an ending to something. Oh yeah, I love you. Bye. But when someone truly says, I love you, then suddenly you're brought into a relationship to say, I have a deep abiding affection for you on a level which reflects the dignity not only of my person, but of the God who directs me. The same thing can be said, I pray for you. When someone kind of haphazardly says, you know, I pray for you, it could mean much like, hi, how are you? Bye, goodbye. It could be, in a sense, really kind of a diminishing of that statement. However, when someone really says, I pray for you, and oftentimes that person will say, I pray for you by name before God, they're saying about the confidence that they have and the trust in God to fulfill whatever God wants to do for you in terms of using you as an instrument to further his will in this world. I pray for you. I can tell you that many times I've been the back of various churches throughout the Archdiocese, and people have come up to me and have said exactly that. Archbishop, I pray for you. You know, I pray for you. And there are those that will kind of say immediately, I pray for you by name before God. And they will say immediately, I want to do that. You are our shepherd, you're our leader. We love our church, we love the Archdiocese, and we want you to make sure that you make those decisions that God wants you to make. And I can tell you that there have been times in my almost now 4 years as Archbishop when I have felt the power of those prayers. That there have been decisions placed before me that I had to make in terms of determining which would be the best aspect for the furtherance of the church. And I can tell you immediately in my mind, the only important aspect of the furtherance of us as a community is that we grow towards holiness. When you make a decision, you can weigh a decision. You can say, ah, here's all the advantages, here's all the disadvantages. But the one trump of all of them is that we grow in holiness. And why? Because that's what God wants us all to do, to grow in holiness, and as a community, to grow in holiness. And I can tell you, there have been times as a leader of this archdiocese that I felt the power of that prayer directing and guiding me to make the decisions that best serve that goal, to grow in holiness. When we take a look at prayer, we kind of have to realize and contextualize prayer in a special sense. And, you know, I take a look at what Abraham Lincoln said about his own life. He said, you know, I study and prepare myself, and when my time comes, perhaps I'll be ready. He doesn't say, I will be ready. He says, perhaps I'll be ready. I do what's necessary in order to place myself in a position to be ready. Ready for what? Ready to answer questions. Ready to make decisions. Ready to take directions. I'll be ready. But I can't do that unless I study and prepare. Well, let me tell you that immediately prayer is that preparation. Prayer in our lives is that preparation. Matthew Kelly recently wrote a book about the dynamic Catholic. And he put four aspects in terms of the importance of that dynamic Catholic. Prayer, study, generosity, and evangelization. But what's the first? Prayer. And if you take a look at all of the saints in the history of our church, you will see immediately at the basis and foundation is prayer. You can't move, you can't claim to be a Catholic or a Christian unless you have prayer in your life. Unless you understand the trust and the confidence that you have in God. Unless you're persistent in your prayer. And that doesn't mean that God answers your prayers and pleas the way you want it, but it means that you trust God to hear and to be present to your struggles. Again, take a look at the saints. Monica prayed for, some say, 18 years because her son Augustine had fallen away from the faith. 18 years. Don't you think at some time during those 18 years she's saying, are you listening to me, God? Are those prayers not echoed by many of our parents and grandparents who have children now who have fallen away from the faith? Who have not taken that faith seriously in terms of its importance? Do we just give up? Or do we pray and trust in God? And are we consistent in our prayers? Monica was. And like Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story we know. Augustine comes back to the church, becomes one of the great leading intellectual lights of Western civilization, and is the foundation, literally, of our catechism to our faith. You got Saint Faustina, who died at the age of 33 in obscurity, who was thought literally to be emotionally disturbed and was sent to a psychiatrist whose writings were banned. She prayed constantly. She relied herself upon the mercy of God. And somehow her response in terms of confidence is God will do what he is going to do, and he's going to establish it sometimes through the church, a Divine Mercy Sunday, where we look upon the relationship of the mercy of God. She never saw it. She prayed constantly for it. She lived for that end. And it was only God who, using her as an instrument, would influence a Polish priest who later becomes a bishop, who later becomes a cardinal, who then becomes Pope, re-examines Faustina's writings, corrects the mistakes that were made in the translation, and suddenly we've got two popes being canonized on Divine Mercy Sunday. The power of prayer is the fact of the power of constantly trusting in God. What Jesus uses in terms of this example is he's using immediately that aspect that even if you have somebody who's corrupt, they'll do something because you're persistent just to shut you up. God loves you. He hears you. He draws you closer to him. And the advantage of prayer is a gift of knowing his presence in your life and in the struggles. In our first reading, we have Moses, who's assisted in order to keep his hands and his arms high so that people could take courage from him. When those hands were lowered, then all of a sudden the battle was being lost. When those hands were being lifted, and how were they lifted eventually? By the help of others. I pray for you. The help of others to encourage us in our own relationship with God. In our prayers, they're lifting up our arms, strengthening us when we need it most. And echoed at the very basis of it, of all of our prayers, is a God who says, I love you. And in that I pray for you is a statement of, I love you. St. Paul tells us, you know, never to be discouraged, to always take our prayers and petitions always before God, to never retreat from that, to be always encouraged, be persistent, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. Convenience, reprimand, encouragement, through all patience and teaching. Pray. Pray with the confidence that God loves you. And know something else, as a church, when we come together, as a church, we pray for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.